Now's the time when we want to do our very best to encourage this young lady that is coming up here, because I met her several years ago now, and I could just guarantee you, that she's never going to turn away from her God work. Now, I've been fooled before, many times. I don't think I'm going to be fooled on this. I believe the young lady that's coming up here to share her thoughts with us is going to be working for God for many, many, many years, representing him not only in her workplace, where she's got a lot of responsibility. Do you agree with that, Bill?
Absolutely.
She had a lot of responsibility. Bill used to work with her.
For her.
Well, however it was, this young lady's got all these wonderful years ahead. She has a family that supports her in this, and that's kind of a nice thing, too. But this kid that's coming up here is absolutely offering her service to be speaking for God, but also to be an example of love and light on this earth. And that's our Jody.
Everybody, I can't tell. I'm sitting in the second row, so you know you're never sure. Like, are the seats gonna fill up? I don't know. Speaker's biggest anxiety, but I do truly believe that God has here tonight who He wants here to hear what I have to say. So, yay! Thank you for coming. So, I've been working on my God work, and my mind is so blown by a lot of ideas about the Bible and about how God really works in our lives and who we really are. I feel like my brain is oozing out of my ears most of the time. And it's really hard for me lately to keep my feet on the ground, because I just want to spend all my time up in the clouds thinking about all these amazing thoughts. But alas, yeah, I have to go to work, I have to get up in the morning, I have to fulfill all those responsibilities. But I'm really glad I get to share with you guys what's been going through my mind. But I do like to bring presents. I don't bring them every time, but I did bring presents for everybody. So do you want to help me? Let me pass those out. Oh, wait, I need one. Okay, so it's a little laminated thing, so you like stick it in your wallet or in your pocket, and the other side's not laminated, so you can write on it if you want to. But it's from my favorite author, Sark, or Susan Ariel Rainbow Kennedy, and she is a really creative soul. All of her books are, you know, handwritten in juicy pens on thirsty paper is what she calls it. And she's got a lot of great books, Glad No Matter What, Fabulous Friendship Festival, Bodacious Women, Bodacious Wild Women, lots of fun, creative, inspire your soul kind of stuff. And what you see here is it says, did you get one? Okay. You are seen, you are known, you are loved. And that is kind of what I want to talk about today. Thank you. So, the Big Bang. Remember the Big Bang everybody talks about, when the Earth was created or when the universe was created and stuff. So, there was this concept that I read in a book, and, you know, with every book, you take what feels right and throw the rest away, and there was plenty I threw away in the book, and I think it was one of the books of the guy who wrote Journey of Souls, and I don't know if it was in Journey of Souls or the one before or after it or whatever, but the concept was that, well, and this is what I know about learning anyway. Learning takes concept plus experience to create a learning experience. You know, you're going to learn by having the experience and having the concept and bringing those two together. So the idea here was that God knew himself conceptually, but not experientially, and so he broke himself into a million, grillion, bajillion pieces so that he could experience every aspect of himself. And so I thought, well, maybe that was the Big Bang, you know? And think about all that dust and all those particles and then all the stars in the entire universe. And think about all of those tiny, all those stars, they're huge. They look really small to us. But think about the fact that those are all the pieces that God broke himself up into. And that each one of us is one of those stars. And you are seen. You are known. And people love the stars, don't they? They see the stars. They know the stars. They love the stars. Why do we love the stars so much? You know, we look up in the sky and we navigate by the stars and we shoot for the stars and our heads are up in the clouds. And I just got to thinking that we're all those stars. And one of the other ideas and the concepts that I gleaned and felt really good to me was that when you're not in a physical experience, when you're not in a human experience, you're part of creation. You're part of God creating planets, pushing dust and gas together to make planets. And furthermore, once you've made the planet, you're going to put stuff on it, right? You're going to create life. You are part of the creator. So who says you guys aren't the ones that are doing it? Who made all the different species of monkeys or flowers or food, vegetables? I mean, think about the fact that you could have had a hand in all those things. What do you love the most? Do you love animals? Do you love flowers? Well, maybe you had a hand in creating some of those different flowers. They're all different. So I just, whoa, okay, so my brain, sticking back in my ear. Because I feel like that's what happens when you think about these big concepts. So think about the fact that what you really are is a star. Now, Millie has a class lesson about soulmates. And she says a soulmate isn't somebody here that's your love. A soulmate is the part of you that you left behind. Now, I know she doesn't read a lot of other books. And I know Millie recommends the Bible, and so do I. But again, you take what feels right and throw the rest away. And so one of the other concepts that really aligned with what she was saying, and putting the pieces of the puzzle together, was that when we come here for this experience, we do leave a portion of our energy or our spirit behind, a percentage of it. And that we come to this life, we choose that life we're going to have. We choose the percentage of our spirit energy that we're going to bring with us here. So, you know, maybe you thought you could get by with 35% and then things aren't going so swell. Or what if somebody who says, I'm just going to do 10%. I'm going to live like four different lives at the same time and split them all up. Who's to say that people who take themselves out of the body might be saying, ooh, I should have taken a bigger percentage. I'm going to take that gamble of starting over again, and this time I'm going to bring a higher percentage with me of energy. You know, just a thought, take what feels right, throw the rest away. But the idea here is that if you leave part of your energy behind, and if you're a piece of God, and if you possibly are one of the stars in the sky, then your soulmate is your home star. Now, I'm not sure, nothing's a coincidence. Guess what my Indian guide's name is? Little Star. And I just thought, okay, thank you for the validation and for the clue, you know. So I really think about that. Think about who you really are as being a star in the sky. Think about how big you are. Think about how many times you supernova and then create yourself again. So here's that creation in the universe over and over again on the massive scale of a star. Goes from a star to being a black hole, and then you're a star again. And so reincarnation, as on earth as it is in heaven, right? These patterns are kind of the same, I think, here, because we're copying what we know up there. So now I've been on this big kick about the Bible being a manual for what to expect when being human. You know, they have those what to expect when expecting. You know? And I don't know if you... I had a Sunday talk where I talked about Adam and Eve. And I repeated it again on another Sunday. But it was basically painting the picture of Adam and Eve deciding to have the human experience, eating the fruit of knowledge. deciding to have the human experience, and then God saying, all right, but there's a few things I need to tell you about before you go. Let me educate you just a little bit. You're going to have to work really hard to make food grow, or you're going to have to hunt animals. You're going to have to figure out how you're going to clothe yourself because you're going to get cold. Oh, and hey, yeah, sorry. I tried really hard to make it not hurt, but it's going to hurt when you have a baby. Did the best I could. It's going to hurt. You're going to have natural enemies like a snake, you know? So for me, he's painting the picture of what to expect when you get there. And now look at the whole thing as this is a picture of the human experience. That Bible is just stories about people being human. So I was listening to the radio the other day, and they were talking about one of the stories in the Old Testament. I think it was King David who, you know, saw the, was out on his roof on a summer night when he should have been in war, at war with his warriors, and he saw the beautiful woman bathing in the pool, and he couldn't help himself, and he was human, and he had a human moment, and it caused war, it caused marriages to crumble, you know. But do we not see that unfold every day? So nothing's new under the sun, and here's this book to show us how many people have been human and lived the human experience and all the mistakes, or how many times they missed the mark, right? But that's the Old Testament. And here's this relationship between God and the people down here. And neither one understand each other very well, in my opinion. God was trying really hard to understand these crazy little things that he created and are running loose on the planet, wreaking havoc on themselves more than anything. And he couldn't understand us, and we couldn't understand him. He was just this big thing up in the sky that we were afraid of, and he was going to smite us and cast us down and turn us to a pillar of salt, you know? So I really feel like that's why he asked Jesus Christ to come to earth, you know? So it was someone that we could relate through to each other. So God, you're going to believe your kid more than you're going to believe the punk down the street who's not your kid, who you don't know, you know? And you could try, but yeah, if you've raised your kid and you know your kid's a good kid, you're going to tend to halfway believe what they say. And so Jesus then turns into an advocate for us. And I think that's what they mean by him dying for our sins. It's more about that, but in a minute. But now here's God's got someone to turn to say, I don't understand. And for Jesus to say, all right, well, let me try this experience and see if I can explain it to you better. And so this, you know, Emily's given talks before, so I'm putting pieces of the puzzle together here. So Emily's given talks before about why do we make such a big deal about Christ's suffering? Why does he have to be up on a cross, hung up and nailed down, you know? And why do we have to have movies that are going to, you know, portray those last horrible moments of his life, you know? I mean, Jesus died for you, you know? Can't you do better than that? Jesus died for you, you know? And I've had a lot of, it's challenging for me to try to grasp that concept and bring it into something that's actually meaningful for me in my heart. And I think that Jesus did say, you could do all these things that I do and more. But I think what he was also saying is, if I can do it, you can do it. He lived a human life. And you saw his ending. And he knew. How horrible is that? You want to know? Do you really want to know? Because what if it's like him? So he knew. Not only did he go through it, but he knew what he was going to go through. And he went through a lot of stuff. He got betrayed by people. He got persecuted by leaders. He got beat. He got tried. He got hung, he got nails put in him, they jabbed his rib. Well, that's a lot of adversity. And maybe that picture is supposed to say, I've been through it too. So we get abused physically, emotionally, you know, when we're growing up or when we're adults, And we suffer. Sometimes on our own hand, but we suffer. But here he's painting this picture to say, I did it too. So it kind of makes it hard to complain. If you think about it that way, no matter what you go through, not that we're going to compare, but at least you have someone to relate to. I think that's the point of that whole death experience was, no matter what you go through, I've probably been through it. He had fits of rage. Remember the story about him, you know, getting mad in the temple because they were selling stuff in the temple? So he's not above losing his temper. How many of us aren't either? You know? He disobeyed his parents. You know, we do that. So I just think he's totally relatable in that way. And so that's what makes, there's the importance of it, you know. There's the connection between all those things that Jesus did, you know. There's the connection of who we really are. We are seen, we are known, we are loved. We're part of the universe. We're a broken off piece that exploded when God broke himself into a million pieces. And he did it to experience every aspect, light and shadow. That's what that whole yin and yang thing is, half black, half white. I mean, they tell the story about the fallen angel, right? And how there's just as much negative, especially here, there's just as much negative as there is positive. And I gave a talk the last time I talked on Sunday about, you know, you start at point zero, at that pendulum is straight in the middle. And you, through free will and through free choice, get to decide which way you're going to make that thing swing. So you could buy into all the negative and make it swing the other way, and you'll have hell. That'll be hell for you. It'll be great if that's what you're looking for. I've heard Millie say this before. Hell is, you know, evil is in the hearts of men, and we create heaven or hell right here on earth, you know. So when you swing your pendulum over to the right, I feel like the right is spirit, and then the left is that negativity. But here's that shadow and light. So even in all those, what we perceive to be horrible, horrible experiences, terrible adversity, injustice, especially to kids, that's the hardest thing. I am so glad for spiritualism, because if I didn't know what I know, it would be really hard for me to exist in this world. I feel like I'm sensitive to that kind of stuff, and it hurts my heart to think that kids are getting hurt. But what if that's part of the experience? And so what if through lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, we too, because we're our father's child, want to do the same thing? We want to experience our shadows and our light. So maybe we choose a life where we're the abuser, and then we choose a life where we're the abused, because then we can experience both sides of the story. So it doesn't mean that when you see a kid getting abused that you don't speak out or you don't report it, because that might be part of the story, and that might be part of the unfolding of that individual's experience. So engage. But just know, at the point with which you can't fix it anymore, you can't help it, then there's nothing that you can do. Just know that it's part of the process and it's part of God's higher plan. Makes it easier to get up in the morning. And so I like to look up in the sky and think about the fact that that's my home star. And I'm going to go home to it someday, and it's going to be awesome. I'm going to meet all my other star friends that I met here while I was here, too. And just a shout out to Andy Landis's talk really made a lot of sense for me. And she just finished her music and theater. Who heard Andy's talk? Okay, so amazing woman, first of all, speaks with such enthusiasm. Please listen to it. It was a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night. If you scroll down, it's going to be one of the more recent ones. Listen to it. It's so worth it. Because she talked about a lot more, but what I want to just mention is that She talked about how everything is making a sound. Everything is making a sound. And they're actually proving it through quantum physics. Everything's doing something, even though it looks like it's not doing anything at all. The most recent one was they created an object that was visible to the eye. There was a little piece of metal that had the computer chip, and it got put in the right environment. They took away all the oxygen, and they took away all the other influences and watched this thing behave in the quantum world. And what they found was that it was vibrating like it was breathing. But at the same time, it wasn't moving at all. So there's proof that you can be in two places at one time, on your home star and here too. Why we exist in the quantum world, we're made of those very atoms that can go through walls. Those particles go through walls. One particle goes through two slits at the same time. If you ever watch Down the Rabbit Hole, what the bleep do we know down the rabbit hole? Fun quantum physics ideas, but it really ties into spiritualism. So everything's making a sound. Everything's vibrating. There's all these sound waves and gamma rays and radio waves and radiation waves and whatever. There's all this stuff happening, all this white noise that's happening that's not even, we're not even registering it consciously. And that humans make a music or a note or a sound. I have to listen to Annie's talk again, but that is 50 octaves higher than a high C. Now, I don't even know what a high C is. Do anybody know? Can anybody do a high C? Christina, could you do a high C? All right. So I don't even know. It's got to be high, right? And so here's this inaudible tone to our ear, but that we're all making a sound and that we harmonize with each other. And when you meet somebody that looks familiar or that you instantly love, could it just be that you recognize their song and that they sing the same song as you? I had that experience at the park. I was late for Sunday church because I was so engaged in talking to a woman who, it turned out, had almost the exact same experiences to me vibrationally. And I had met her the week before, and I said, "You look so familiar." And after that second conversation where I found out how alike we really were, I was like, "Oh my gosh, maybe I recognized your song." And we harmonized with each other. And that there's certain people that you don't harmonize with, you know, right? Ugh, I don't like that person. And maybe they just aren't on your wavelength. We talk about that all the time. Hippies talked about it a long time ago. Man, get off my wavelength. But it's true. If we all make a noise, then we really are. That's aura, right? There's all this. Look how connected we are through sound. We're connected through vibration. We're connected because we're stars. We're all stars in the sky. We all broke off of the same mothership that exploded. Are you not important? I beg you to believe that you are. You are seen. You are known. You are loved. Yay! And thank you for listening to me.